It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
So hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar. Oh, that
one in. I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 986.
What is happening?
G'day, listeners.
What time is it? What day is it?
The day, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
3:50 p.m. here in Melbourne. Been a bit wet out on the road, so be careful if you are driving.
Have you been driving?
This morning I did, yeah.
Was it wet on the way in?
Yep.
I was filming at a great event, closed door event, and it was 20 floors high, 21 floors actually, at top floor. And it was quite nice in the morning, like it was a little bit wet, but then clear. And then we were in the clouds. It was fogged up. It was nice. And then it sort of lifted. It's awesome. I mean, it's that corporate life in the CBD. Like if you were high up in one of the big buildings.
I'd really get around that.
It is nice. There's something about being really, really high up.
If you could have any type of office for big media company and full stack films, what sort of office would you go for? Money isn't a problem. What would you do?
God, I want both. I want bunker. Like I want sort of that underground. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you're under the ground. Like it's just concrete around you. They're like basement studios.
Yep.
And then top floor with a penthouse. Mm-hmm. But then I want it by the water.
Yep.
So it's a bit hard. Where are we going to find
Albert Park?
Yeah, getting close, but then you want, I mean, like Bondi. You want a basement in Bondi plus a rooftop in Bondi across the road from the beach.
Yeah.
Now, that's living.
It's nice.
I just saw, we know comparison's the thief of joy.
Yeah.
But when you read that Afterpay founder is 31 years old and worth $2 billion and just bought himself a $20 million house in Bondi. Mm. And then the block of flats goes up next door for sale and he buys the whole thing because he doesn't want it to be, you know.
On Afterpay, do you think?
I mean, he's got cash.
Yeah.
He's the one guy not needing Afterpay. He's the man who invented Afterpay.
Yeah. I mean, there's many other people that you could compare outside of him.
Yeah, but
it's way better than you.
Well, like, no, but it's looking at the age.
Sure.
The accomplishment. And then I look at the photo. I'm like, that fuck, he's young. He's
Does he
real.
Look good? Is he a nice looking guy?
Yeah, he
guy?
Looks good. Mm-hmm. Attractive young man. World at his fingertips. Mm-hmm. Probably stressed out of his mind. This is where I start going. Depressed. You know, hates everybody.
Or
hates
maybe that's staff. Just you.
No, I'm joking. That's what most people will start to do when they say it. But it's, fuck, man, good on him. Good on him.
What were you reading?
What was that in? Maybe it just was like a, you know how you get, I don't know, you might not, but sucked into, so real estate sites write articles like they're a newspaper.
Yeah.
And next minute they've threaded, you know, businessman this in business, you know, business lady this, buying this, you know, but so they give you a bit of a backstory in the business and then what they've purchased.
And so were you looking a lot at real estate
sites? No, I don't know where I saw that. Maybe it was, I mean, my dad, I love, like going to my parents' place, my dad's a newspaper man.
Like, as he delivers newspapers?
No. I did that. That was my job as a 12-year-old. But growing up at home, we always had a, in our laundry, bottom shelf, just like, which is the ground, the ground, there was a box, and in that box was old newspapers.
I remember this, like the stacks of papers that you would have. And then you would sometimes use them for like a school project where you're doing paper mache,
fires out in the backyard we used to do. And now, like, I don't have that. So when I want to make a fire, it's like scratching my head, what should I do? I don't want to go buy a newspaper. And so, but I remember, like, so still going to dad's house now, he's got the smart paper, as in the biggest one you can get, in the age. It's just really big, and it's spread out on a weekend, and he's got all the bits, and he likes reading the financial stuff. But in that, you're seeing, you know, Rich List, or you're seeing stuff, you know, reading about the stocks. So anyway, I pick up some, so I get a bit of it there, and then he might say, "Have you heard about this?
Yeah,
heard about that?"
Which I was really impressed with myself at a cafe the other day. Because, you know, I can be a bit socially awkward or not knowing what
to
do.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes. Only sometimes.
Occasionally.
Yeah. I was really proud of myself though, because I saw a newspaper and just picked it up and started reading it. And it seemed like, you know how you have an out of body experience and you're like, what do I look like? And it just, I didn't feel socially awkward. Like I was like, here's an interested guy, because there's definitely been times where
I didn't act weird at all, but I was thinking, look at me.
Zoom out.
Didn't even read the paper.
Well, that's what I was going to say. In a situation like that previously, yes. I've definitely looked at the paper and actually not taking any of it in. Like all the words are dancing. It's like when you're out to lunch with some friends and you're all talking.
Yeah.
And we're all looking down at the menu. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm never actually reading the menu.
Oh, the amount of time. Sorry. Fourth time around, yes. The waiter has to go and come back again.
I'm the one to say, let's go now. You start with you. And by the time it gets to me, I'll know what I want.
Which I like that pressure.
Which will probably be a beef burger.
I do like that pressure. It's the flip the coin model in some ways. It's like, make the decision quick by a flip of a coin. I can't decide. Yeah. I'll get this.
How often do you have coins though?
Never.
But anyway, I did feel, I was really proud of myself because
I'm full
of
shit.
No, but I was, I felt like a poser. But at the same time, it was about Iran or whatever. And I was like, oh, look at me in the morning at a cafe reading about international news. Fuck, I'm cool.
And did you stay there or you just went?
No, I just read it and I was like, you know what? Like, I took it in. Mm. I was actually reading it. And, you know, like, I don't know if it's just me, but as I'm reading, it's like there's a hyper, like, when I'm doing something that's different to what I'm normally doing, I become like, not only it zooms out, but then I feel my face. I can feel my face. Do you ever have that when you like become so sort of that I'm like, I've got a nose. I can feel my lips are moving.
But I don't get it when I'm reading a paper.
Mm-hmm.
I get it if I'm in a conversation with somebody and you have a heightened sense of self.
Sure.
It's not self-awareness. It's just sensing. It's just being stimulated. It's which is why we end up feeling like we are minds trapped inside of somewhere. So there's actually a location to our consciousness, which there's not.
Should we try, like, you hear these exercises, obviously looking at an individual for a period of time as like a relationship builder. Have you heard this? But I guess we're doing this right now.
We do it. I told you about when I did my
coaching
course. I offer coaching. If you didn't know, hire the Daily Talk Show. I'm a life coach. No, I'm not. But I did a life coaching course. Cert 4, didn't finish it.
Yeah.
But one of them was to sit. One of the things to do. This is like a weekend workshop. You've never met these people in your life. You come together, but it was about opening up. So you have your palms facing up on your thighs, sitting opposite somebody, someone you didn't know, very close to them, and you'd look at each other. But at that moment, there's a hyper sense of awareness on yourself. So, what are you looking? What this is the meditation that I do with Sam Harris. It's all about sort of trying to understand that there's no location of the self. So we think it's behind our eyes, which gives us the, you know, like right now, I can see my fingertips come in front of my eyes, so I feel like I'm back here. Yeah. But that's all like the appearance, and it's being stimulated by the things like my hands and my eyes and the sense of my eyebrows and my nose and being behind my face.
Well, it's like the eyes are the windows to the soul and your hands are the windows to intent.
I don't know if it's like that. It's not Sam Harris's bit, but
that's active defense. Always look at the hands. I've been very good at that, by the way.
But if you think about it, if you're looking at me and you're looking at my hands, but look at me, who's looking at me? Like, you're seeing my face, but where are you looking from?
Sure. Well,
it gets real trippy, dude.
Have you done that with a mirror before, where you look at yourself close enough? I mean, you would do it every day.
No, there is a meditation which is looking in the mirror.
The Tommy Jacket meditation.
I said meditation. I meant mantra. Look at yourself. You're beautiful. Mm. Your hair's great. Actually, I didn't need to say that. Everyone else does.
I mean, the thing at like being in compromising positions and having a mirror where I live at the moment, there's a mirror where when you're seated on the toilet, there's a mirror where you can sort of see yourself, like side profile.
Side profile. Okay. Yeah. Good to clarify.
Yeah. But it's just not like, you just don't need that negativity really, do you?
What does it do?
Or wouldn't it just like...
I mean, I don't mind it.
You like
you probably become... No. Not that I'm wanting to perv on myself, but... So what are you looking at? You're looking at you, but what are you? Like if you go real deep with it, what is it? Like everything threaded, any negativity that's coming from your mind is exactly just that thought that's sparking up about something because you are just you, like sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why there is no, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
There's
or
a
nothing
part of me that wants to get all
not
like
nice.
Spirit, more spiritual. Like I think like I think part of it is... I don't know if we ever spoke about that on air, but when I was talking about the gurus and your mum was not texted you saying, Josh, shut up. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, because you push back on shit. Like I know that half of it's like, and you're the first to say, I actually don't know.
Yeah.
But you're the first also to say, but what are you sure? And so those two things happening at once can be very annoying because you're like, what? Well, I don't know, but are you sure about this? And how do you know? Which is implying that you know something that they don't, or you're of a different understanding. And so that's where it can be annoying. But there's a lot of dropping of that when it goes into the spiritual space, but that isn't in the dropping the sense of I all believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a place in between.
Well, sometimes
right?
you can have a contrarian view on something or you feel like you have to play devil's advocate. This is a problem with like a bunch of social issues that are happening at the moment where it's like people feeling like they just need to be like, oh, well, it's not all black and white. Like, oh, not all men are rapists or like mm-hmm. as a way of not having, like I was reading an article where I think the headline was rape is a men's issue, not a women's issue.
Mm.
And I like caught myself just for like a moment being like, well, hang on. And I was like, oh no. Like, and then I like, it's so funny how from this debating or seeing, but like you get in this dark area
of
trying to justify. It's like, no. Like I caught myself doing the exact thing that gets people in a bad headspace, which is.
Of course.
Justification or devil's advocate, whereas like not everything needs a devil's advocate, not everything needs to be defended.
I agree, not everything needs to be defended, but it's also the essence of what you said, which is triggered, you could use that, or something that stimulated an emotion or a sense, whether it's like what you actually give a fuck about, because I know that you don't actually you're not over here saying, oh, but white men, you actually don't give a fuck about it, but it's obviously done something.
But then what about ScoMo? ScoMo coming out and saying, like, he's done such a poor job of everything that's been happening with Parliament to the point where in a moment where they're saying, hey, take responsibility, he then, did you hear about the News Corp thing?
Oh, so he said, clean up your own house before you get, look at
like,
ours.
I mean, that is like the opposite of what a leader should do. How can you look at that and say, oh, that's a win?
Dude, I'm surprised people aren't harder, like aren't more wild. I mean, it's not why.
What do you mean?
I was going to say it's why I'm not in politics. But like people aren't looser than ScoMo in these high pressure situations saying more dumb shit. I guess Eddie Maguire said some stuff which, he says taken out of context. It's not what I meant. And other people say otherwise. And so- I'm surprised it doesn't happen even more that people are saying shit like that. Like,
why is that? What do you like?
I'm surprised only because it's what you said. It's like knee-jerk reaction could be something that you're not proud of.
But the leadership thing.
Yeah, you hope that the people in your country.
But I think that's a thing, right? Like if you've made it to a certain point.
I mean, you look at the standard though. Look at Trump, the president. Yeah. And so the standard of. I'm surprised. Yeah, I guess.
But that's why it was so disconcerting and why it was because things like morals and ethics can become this sort of side thing. It's like it's how he talks about, spoke to Jenny. Like he to get a perspective on women.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
can't
yeah.
like empathize at the human level. Yeah, he has to speak to fucking Jenny. I saw it because obviously there was that politician that, I don't know what, he must have got his dick out or something on a desk.
I just saw a screenshot of something.
It was all blurred. But you sort of, the thing, well, there was a Batuta Advocate, I think, article where it was like the headline was ScoMo in tears thinking if that was Jenny's desk. but it's, it is a shame.
It's
but,
fucking
I mean, it doesn't matter what political view you have. You can look at that, like ScoMo, I think is fair to say, not great when it comes to, at the very least, communicating leadership qualities.
Yeah. I don't know if, I don't think he's a piece of shit. Like, I don't think, which is
well,
not
he sees
saying
himself
that he,
as this, you know, like he's a Christian dude.
Yeah.
So you would think that some of the things he's talking
like,
about.
Being, I mean, we don't get scrutinized for what we say, but we're not also in charge of the country.
Yeah.
And so what do,
but he also is representing all Australians. And so, really, you want a prime minister that is reflective of...
Which seems fucking bizarre because humans are flawed. How can we expect one person? Like, this is more just then looking
at... But it's common decency. I think the thing is that where he lands is it's like, at what point, like, just think about apologies. I feel like if you look at, say, you know, everything from how the bushfires were handled, all of these different things, you're like... look, there's probably a better way of doing it that's more empathetic, less in the defensive.
Oh, of course. I think that's for anybody, right?
But also
that
like
you
playing
can
dumb.
Reflect on. Well, you hope he's not actually just playing dumb, like he doesn't know.
Well, so the thing is,
then you're lying at that point.
But the problem is that it's a lose-lose because if he doesn't know what's happening, then he's probably not tapped into the culture and connected with the people at his workplace, or he knows about it and he's pretending he doesn't, which, you know, means he's lying.
Yeah.
So it's not a great...
It's a huge problem if the person running the country is lying. And that was a lot of the time the case for Trump. He lied about a bunch of stuff on record. Like, it's clear. And so... But fuck, man, I'm reading the book Lying by Sam Harris. Great.
What are you learning?
How much we all lie. And it's not to the extent of I stole your money or I didn't steal your money. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. And I've got your $50 in my pocket. Not to that level of deception, but just in little things. Think about writing an email where you are saying, oh, I missed this. And you didn't miss it.
Yeah, sure.
And how that is an easy thing I've done in the past, definitely in the past, earlier in my career.
Well, if an email, you know, the thing is, it's like if an email has been so long and you're only getting back to them, sometimes to save face and to make them feel okay, saying that it went into your spam folder.
Saving face for you, though.
No, I think...
Saving face
for
them.
No. So, the thing is... So, this is,
interesting.
Who's it for? What's it for? I think that the...
Which is a good point to ask about when you're about to lie. Who's it for? What's it for?
So, the thing is... So, if I use that example, when I was younger doing freelancing, that was a common thing. Like, I feel like shit, we used to go into spam a lot more back then.
But, I don't trust anyone when they say it's going to spam these days.
Or it's just rendering. but the... on the email thing, so the reason you do it is because you don't want to communicate the disrespect that I just didn't bother writing back for this long.
Yeah.
So by saying it was in the spam folder, all of a sudden you bring up that person's status because you're like, you are still important to me. Whereas if
but are they? Because if you did, this is like the living truth.
But the problem is that sometimes you might be living out of alignment with these things. So, for instance, think about people who you might care about, but you just don't get to their text message.
I guess what we have to preface in this circumstance, the options aren't. So you have another option. So you've got the lying about the spam thing.
Yeah.
But the point of it is you can't retrospectively change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it too, Josh. The reality is, what is the other option that just doesn't thread a lie through to it?
And so the other option, I think the reason why people might not go down the other option is because it feels like it's becoming about you. So that, like, as soon as you have to explain yourself, it seems like you've missed
the point. I've made the decision in moments to not address something in respect, like, because you could easily think it needs a reason why I haven't written back to you for a month to then get back to you. But so, because you could get hung up on needing to justify it. There is the other option. So the point is that the opposite of threading the lie through is saying something that's truthful in some respects, which can bring the communication closer.
When I was younger, I set up, I think it was called, don't remember what the service was, but it was called like 3 sentences or 5 sentences. There was different versions, .com. And you would put it at the bottom of your email signature and you would say, I'm practicing 3 sentences. Find out what it is here. And what it was it's like, I only email back 3 sentences to try and reduce my workload, which is, it's very funny. It's not far off the time that
someone sent me one of those. Sorry, it was in spam. Mate, it's real bad. Sorry.
Isn't that so fun? But this is what happens. Like, people who read 4-hour work week, and then if you try and do that in the real world, like autoresponders. I had the classic case where I set up an autoresponder saying, hey, I'm only check my emails once a day. Did the classic, which George has done this too. He set up an autoresponder in Apple Mail. And I did this when I was younger, where I accidentally sent the autoresponder to every single one of my contacts saying that I only check my email once a day, which is not great.
Oh, God.
But and so lying, is there anything that you're... Because I think that there is the other part of it, which is there are people who pride themselves on, I just tell it like it is. And the problem with the tell it like it is attitude, if there's a certain flavor of it. So there's obviously like really positive flavors, but there's a flavor of it, which is, I don't care how this is going to make the other person feel. And so it's thing.
There's also the other tell it like it is person that values the truth, and when that person also gives you a compliment, you know that it's honest, but they don't have the arrogance of tell it like it is. It's like, from where I see it, it's like this.
So maybe it's more silence than anything, which is what you're describing. So rather than lying or addressing, hey, this email is a month old, this is my excuse, just going into the email without addressing it, which I don't know where I stand.
Unless it was requiring the event is gone. This is where it's hard, because you then get held up on a situation. So
what about if it was like to benefit? So for instance, say if you're going for a job, right? You wouldn't really do this.
I think the thing is, if you just take stock of your day to day and see the moments in your life where lying becomes your first go-to, which I'm like guilty of it, right?
Because
Bodhi, hey, is there any more chocolate? Nah, it's all gone. Is a lie. There's a fucking shitload in the cupboard. And so what's the language there? It's not, no, there's no more chocolate.
It's none for you.
There's none for you right now. And so that's another way of doing it.
Yeah, sure.
So the kids thing is, lying to kids,
don't be
so
tricky,
often.
Dad. Do you fucking have chocolate?
Because that, but at that point, he's like, if he's ever saying to me, don't be tricky, he knows I'm a liar. And so there's little bits. So it's with your partner. I don't know. So there's heaps of examples in the book of lying that, he asked his... He gives an example of this one family where the mum got MS. And they were at the doctors. The husband found out that his wife had MS.
Yeah.
The doctor had told him, he didn't tell his wife. And so she never knew that he knew. She didn't know, but then she found out. And so, and then her son didn't know and then found out later, a year later. So for a whole year, his point is that there was no support. There was a year that nobody knew that each other knew.
Sure.
Yeah. And so everyone thought it's like ignoring it.
Okay. What about this long-term
connection? That's the key to not lying. There's a lot of connection that can be made.
Relationships, wanking and porn.
Yeah.
It's a common one.
100%. And so I've lied about it for sure.
Which is so, there's something so, you feel so pathetic about it.
I say, of course. Of course. Real pathetic.
But don't you think that I feel like that is a look at how much, like something like a Pornhub, how many viewers or how many users use Pornhub?
Should we check their monthly?
You can, yeah, sure. But don't you think that's an interesting one? Like, I think,
yeah, man. But that's why it's like I've had people say to me, "Oh, my partner." Mm-hmm. It's one girl said to me, "My partner never watches porn."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Bullshit." I mean, maybe I didn't watch any pornographic material for over a year.
I was speaking to one mate who, during COVID, he's like, you know, you're in an apartment. It's pretty
by yourself.
It's pretty no with your partner, but he was used to,
seven sessions.
Wife's gone to work, have a wank, and so all of a sudden he's like, got this wanking habit. It really is a friend. It's not me. But seriously.
I was thinking about, who are your mates that live in apartments? It was you.
No. It actually isn't. I changed some of the story so that it wasn't so obvious. But they may have had to quarantine. They had to quarantine in a spot that wasn't their house or whatever for that period of time. And he ended up having the conversation.
Fair enough.
With his partner, which is
I'm an addict.
I'm going to have a wank. And it's got nothing to do with you.
That's so good.
I mean, so on a lying, like when you think about that stuff, I mean, we've spoken about it early days, your number, how many sexual partners.
I actually, had. Hand on heart, could not tell you.
But do you speak to Amy about it? Would you tell her what, like?
Much now, but I think there's a lot. I think if you're talking for myself here, a single guy that gets into a relationship, there's a lot of. I mean, lying, it sounds so heavy.
Yes.
But there is a lot of. Deceptive communication, you could call it, like veering off, trying to bring up something else or getting out of it. You know, you're just like not wanting to go there. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of that for me with Amy early days, but now it's a bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, think about the reaction that you have or like going into it. It can be like maybe not your proudest thing. Like if you're not proud about, you know, your previous sexual history or whatever it is, someone asking it, even if it's you're in a relationship, could be confronting.
Exactly. And so, I think that most of the evidence of actually talking about it with Amy is a deeper connection. And so, you can always think that, like, the truth is too hard for somebody. It's fucking too hard for you. Because that was, I literally thought that I can't tell Amy the stuff she wants to know about things that are just, you know, very basic. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, she can't handle it.
Yeah.
Now everyone's thinking, what the fuck I was up to. Yeah, but
threesomes.
Yeah. But at that point, I'm like, Amy can't handle that. I can't tell her. Like, but then you know what it is? It's the tough moment of being in that conversation with her that feeling for me. I don't want.
Yeah.
I didn't want that. And so it's like an aversion tactic, which sometimes it's like, imagine that. So that's like not me doing anything wrong. This is just previous sexual history, if we're talking about where I can't even handle that. Mm-hmm. Imagine actually like having to tell, you know, somebody something that you are honestly lying about, stole the money. Mm-hmm. Imagine actually saying that. Mm-hmm. Fuck no.
Yeah.
It's like too much. Yeah. And you can't say no comment like at the mm-hmm. cop shop. Yeah. No comment. I mean, you can.
What is it called? The fifth?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In America.
Yeah. Played the fifth.
Played the fifth.
Is it the fifth?
Yeah.
I watched Bridesmaids last night.
Nice.
Funny film.
Yeah. It is. It is. Yeah. It's a great.
It's if you want to laugh.
Yeah. It's fucking real good.
Mm-hmm. And so any other thoughts on the lying thing?
I think nothing other than try it. Try just having the filter of, am I lying right now?
Have you noticed? Am I lying right now? So what areas have you picked up on? So there's the Bodhi.
Okay, now I got one today. Today we went to the film shoot mm-hmm. in the city and there was early bird parking. $16.
Yeah.
The person producing the event told me about it. Mm-hmm. Great. We had someone, a contractor helping us.
Yeah.
Film, and I said, go there. And I said, mate, I'll cover it.
Yeah.
Big dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Big dog will fucking cover it.
Yeah. Jeez, you're sick.
$16.
Yeah.
Anyway, we go to the car park. The machine's not working. I'm like, fucking putting the, I was like, I got this, son. Mm-hmm. I got this. Mm-hmm. Putting in the ticket, sending it back out. So I hit the help. Lady comes online. I don't know where she is.
Yeah, it would be in
international,
some
sort of, yeah. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It wasn't in the mm-hmm. in the actual thing. Anyway, she's like, yep. So that will be $73.
Oh, my goodness. So is this on the way out or the way in? So this is on the way out trying to, you put your ticket in to leave.
No. So it's at the machine.
At the machine you to could, pay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And what'd you say?
I caught myself because I was like, oh, but someone told, I was like.
But that's not a lie.
No, but it's not the rules. The rules are in before 9, out after 3.
Oh.
It's a real con job. I know. Early bird just means you fucking get there early.
Yeah, but you have to leave
late. Early bird gets the park mm-hmm. but has to leave after 3. That should
so
be the.
So could you not just say, so did you pay $73?
I paid $73.
Is this your way of telling me?
This is my way of telling you. I can't lie about it.
What about the freelancer?
He's not getting money. It was too expensive.
So if this was a radio show, I'd play Justin Bieber and we would fucking high five with that out. But we're not. So we're still here.
Anyway,
thanks for joining us. This is the Daily Talk Show.
I didn't lie about it. Mm-hmm. And we're $73 and
$146.
I didn't park. He gave me lift time.
Okay, that's nice. So, of course, yeah.
So,
it's okay.
Yeah, dude. But I was literally about to lie to this lady, mm-hmm. which I probably could have fucking spun mm-hmm. some bullshit
sure. yeah.
like I have in the past.
I mean, you are the one to sneak into the lounge at the airport. I've had so many blow-ups.
Which that was almost not a lie because I asked the guy to help.
Yeah, sure.
And
yeah.
so, but this is just-
being more creative.
You've got to get more creative with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just actually thought of one because I couldn't, my ticket wasn't registering and I honestly told her how long we'd been there. But if I dishonestly said,
yes,
I've been here for 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
she'd be like, yeah, no worries, $22. But see,
seems like a very easy lie though, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you fucked it.
I know.
It's
a good practice because then it was only from me thinking about not lying that I did that in that moment.
It's interesting because from a culture perspective, I think that where we go with lying is what is culturally acceptable. And so, for instance, you imagine, you know, like you go overseas and you're buying something and you're sort of haggling on the price and you're like, no, too much, talking about that. You know the... Mm. The level, the thing is that it's rarely too much. You can afford it. Like I catch myself sometimes, you know, you're in a third world country. You're like, no, $5 for the sarong. That's a ripoff. No.
You're on the back foot. That's approach you have to take. Like mm-hmm. they're ripping me off. Yeah. So I'm going to.
Which is a really annoying, like think about from a business perspective.
How would they feel?
Yeah. Well, I think that they know it's, the thing is that I remember going to Thailand, for instance. And
you weren't paying full price to sit on an elephant. Absolutely not.
No, I did. It was through Flight Centre. yeah. Paid through Flight Centre.
Wonder if they're actually still doing that.
But definitely.
The elephant one?
Yeah. I don't think-
get a photo with a tiger through Flight Centre.
Yeah.
I wonder if they are distancing themselves from those. Mm-hmm. But you still can blow up a cow with a bazooka.
Yeah,
I can't actually do that. That's fucked.
I don't know if you'd be able to do it through Flight Center.
Yeah.
I just don't want Flight Center to get upset. This is not a Flight Center integration. But if you're looking for some sort of, I'm sure you could get it on Red Balloon.
Two cows for the price of one.
Yeah, no, you don't want to shoot up a cow. That's actually
It's
been very sad, the flooding with the cows and stuff. But no, what I was going to say is in Thailand, in Phuket, you're walking along and you read in the Lonely Planet book that if you get given a black bag, means that you're easy.
Did you watch Ryan John's video?
No.
He did one about this in Bali.
Oh, really? Yeah, so they give different color bags depending. Yeah, depending on how much of a chump you are when it comes to haggling.
Can you rip them off?
Yeah.
You get a red bag.
One thing that I think people misuse, they say when they're doing this, they say bartering.
Yeah, I would say bartering.
Bartering. I say haggling because bartering is like if I'm going to swap my leather jacket for the sarong.
Don't lie to me. Are you questioning now that if you're right about the bartering?
No, I'm right.
Okay.
Just like when people say aesthetic, that's aesthetic.
I wouldn't say. That's
what the kids are saying.
Aesthetic.
That's aesthetic. Well, but aesthetic.
That is aesthetic. You could see it as aesthetic is not a descriptive.
So aesthetic is so you can have. Really nice aesthetic.
Sports aesthetic.
Yeah. It's not a good aesthetic, but that's aesthetic.
That's probably.
It's lingo.
That's the bit.
Yeah.
That that's they're
aesthetic.
Doing.
Yeah.
That's aesthetic. They know. They don't know that it doesn't work, but.
Is my hoodie aesthetic?
That's aesthetic.
I feel like a European DJ.
Yeah. This one goes out to.
It's a mint green.
Amsterdam Couture.
Yeah, it feels good.
Amsterdam?
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks, it would be warm.
Do you
inside.
Like it or no?
It's nice.
It'll probably get dirty.
It's going to get real dirty. Mm-hmm. I mean, for you, I value that you're spicing it up. Minting it up.
Well, I wore pants on a shoot on Monday and Jess was blown away. She was like, you guys look great. Literally just put pants on, normally wear shorts. Yeah.
What are you wearing right now?
Pants, yeah. Pants and, well, because I just felt like I want to feel good today. I was driving in.
Yeah.
Wouldn't trust wearing something so light in the rain.
Mm.
And so, I drove in. Felt like a bit of an executive, you know, just driving in comfy heaters on.
Yeah, love it. Nice jumper.
No seat warmers or anything, but.
Mate, you don't have a Benz. Mm-hmm. You don't have a fucking Rolls Royce in your Scotch and soda. That would go.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Yeah. It's a daily talk show.
That's aesthetic.
Yeah. hi@thedailytalkshow.com is the email address if you want to send us an email. Episode 1000 coming up very strong.
Yeah.
We are doing.
And soon.
16 hours. That's
which is
1000. Well, it's 1000 minutes.
Yeah. So, it's a bit over 16 hours, which is.
Yes.
Not 24 like we did, but it's a doable and still.
On Friday the 15th?
That's
9th.
It's 10th, 12th. Two weeks away. 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. Okay.
Just checking. So we're doing, going to stream.
9th. Yep.
1,000 minutes. We're going to stream.
Yeah.
Going to have a bunch of guests. We've still got to reach out to all of our guests. So if you're listening and wondering where the call is, it's coming.
I had an idea and I'd like to get a hotel on the bandwagon.
Okay. Hi@thedailytalkshow.com.
Yeah. It's the after party.
Okay.
Not even, it's the kick-ons, but you don't party and I don't really party.
Sure.
But I thought if we were to have our own hotel room that's waiting for us, we do the show all day. So we're starting at 5 a.m. We're done at like 10 p.m.
But so you and I in the same room?
You and I.
Okay, great.
Have to go. We get to, but during the show, we have someone go to the hotel, check in for us, do a video in the room.
Great.
We bring them into the
two
live
beds
stream.
Or one bed?
Well, I would separate. Yeah.
Okay.
You get two beds, but.
So like two singles.
It's the kick-ons.
Yes.
And we might take the team back there.
Sure.
For a nightcap, but then that's it.
A night cappuccino.
Exactly. A nightcap. Yeah. I mean, a nightcap could be a beer.
Okay.
But we'll integrate the hotel. we'll show the room, and then you and I will head out, head back there.
Well, it can't be the Hilton, based on your history.
The Hilton's no longer
the, the Hilton. Pullman.
But I did my dirty at the Hilton.
Okay, sure. All right.
And Crown, we burnt the sofa.
Okay.
Right, well, all good though. Wasn't yeah, under perfect. My name.
Yeah, I think you should just stick to lying. Have a good one, guys.
See you guys. Tomorrow.